the Morning with Boomer. Picture that. Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Well, look at this. 9:02 on your Friday. Long weekend ahead. It is Ryan Pinder and Sean C. Smith in studio. And we've got breaking NHL news for you. Our friends up QE2 have got pen to paper on one of those restricted free agents we talked about earlier this morning with Chris Johnson. It's been a tough summer for some of these teams and RFAs coming to terms. We talked about Johansson, Niederreiter, DeKaiser, Krug, Schwartz, Barry, Dillon, all guys coming out of entry-level contracts needing new deals. And one gets done today, Justin Schultz and the Oilers agreeing on a one-year pact worth $3.675 million. That being tweeted out by our sister station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto. Is it a lot of money? Yeah. Do you have a better defenseman on that team? I don't know. Probably up for debate. You really need him.
For the 1 year. Just the 1 year.
1 year. And then I believe he would have arbitration rights. I might be jumping the gun on that, but I believe that's the case. It'll be his third contract. Mm. So, has he been great as an Oiler? No. Has he been overexposed and put in spots that he wouldn't have been in if he was in another organization?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. So while Justin Schultz doesn't look fantastic against other teams' top lines, guess what? If he signed in Boston, he'd never see the other team's top line because they've got Chara, Seidenberg, all those other guys that would slot in ahead of him. He's been a victim of his circumstance, which is ironic because he got to pick of any place in the league to go play. Mm-hmm. He picked Edmonton.
And Oilers' hands are kind of tied in this position because what are they going to do? Let potentially one of their best offensive defensive threats just walk away when they had no one else to really fill in that position?
Well, he wasn't going to walk away. I mean, I'm sure he could go to Russia, but let's be honest. All these RFA guys we're talking about, deals are going to get done. They're just not easily done. And I think the Oilers prove that today as they give almost $4 million a year to a guy who's disappointed in many measures, but as we stated, has been put in a really, really tough spot for a young guy at a position where typically the best players are older men. Not guys in their young 20s. So Justin Schultz, a one-year deal, $3.675. Thoughts?
I mean, 24 years old, who knows what he can do this year. This may be his coming out party. You never know. This could be the year that the Oilers have a coming out party. Maybe they're just waiting for that kind of, they get over the hump, and this guy could maybe potentially be a piece.
It's a bit of dough, but really, they need him. Yes, they went and got Nikita Nikitin. They added Mark Fain from New Jersey. I like the decor more than I did last year at this time. Mm. Belov, Grebishkov, get out of here.
Right.
Klefbom's knocking on the door. We've seen a bit of Martin Marincin. But they need him. They had to sign him. They were in a tough spot. And the player had a little more leverage here than, for example, a Lance Boma in Calgary, because Lance Boma doesn't play 22 minutes a night on the blue line or whatever Schultz was asked to do in Edmonton.
Well, and look, guys are getting paid this year. They're getting paid. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. What Derek Englund, he got paid
2.9.
You know what I mean? 3 mil. So
huge money.
It's one of those things where, is this the year of the defenseman where they're just going to get their dough and then that's the way it goes?
They're expensive. The cap's gone up. You have player inflation. It's a fact. The same player next year will be more expensive than that guy this year on the open market. And it's not your 1, 2% inflation that you see in a standard economy. In the NHL right. economy, you're looking at 10, 15, 20% inflation.
Yeah,
right?
Gross.
And that's
gross.
Why Sidney Crosby at 8.7 is looking like a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Taves and Kane are getting 10.5.
Yeah.
They're not better players than Crosby necessarily. They've won a little more. But point is their deals came up more recently. The cap was higher when they signed.
And
the cap's going to continue to go up. It's not going down. It just isn't.
And if you want to talk money, I don't mean to switch gears completely, but you talk about the NBA, for instance, with LeBron James. He only took that 2-year deal with the Cavs strictly because of the TV right deal coming in the future.
Right. He knows the cap will be much higher in 2 years.
These guys are smart. They're still businessmen instead. I mean, yes, they're athletes, but they understand the business of things still.
And if they don't, they've got agents that do.
Exactly.
Right?
They know what they're doing.
Schultz. Interesting. 1 year deal. They're going to have to do this all over again. And I'm telling you, it would not be surprising to see Justin Schultz have his best NHL year this year. Why wouldn't he? He's got two under his belt. There's more depth around him on the blue line. And offensively, he should be able to record a lot of points moving the puck to a skilled group of forwards, in theory. It hasn't happened yet.
Right. And if anything, he does have a good year, he knows that there'll be more money on the table.
Well, that's what I mean. This will be an even more
incentive,
even more difficult a negotiation next year. And it continues to remind me of just the fact that the best teams in the NHL get players cheaper.
Yes.
Because they aren't put in bigger spots until later in their career. So, for example, you have Jeremy Morin, Jimmy Hayes, Dylan Olsen, mm-hmm. all guys that were in Chicago's system to start last year. I believe they traded all three, Olsen and Morin to Florida, and Hayes to Florida. And I don't know if Morin's there or not. I excuse my ignorance. But if they were in the Flames of the Oilers organization, those guys would have been in the NHL for 2-3 years now. They'd be due for new contracts, be playing bigger minutes, have bigger points. They'd draw more money in negotiations. And so for the exact same player, Chicago, Florida is going to get a cheaper guy because mm-hmm. they came through Chicago's system yep. than the Flames of the Oilers would.
Right.
And that's why Schultz signed in Edmonton. If he went to Boston, he'd be a third-pairing guy to start his
and
career.
He
went to Edmonton, he's a top-four guy right out of the gate.
And you know what, though? Schultz probably wouldn't even make that much money, too, if he went to a contender.
That's my whole point.
Yeah, guys are willing to take cut.
It's not even that. It's just you have no leg to stand on if you're not
true.
Irreplaceable. He's somewhat irreplaceable in Edmonton.
I guess for a young guy, you don't really get that choice of being like, I'll take a cut. You're not willing to do that quite yet in your career. But guys down the line, veterans who are looking to contend later on in their career, they'll take a cut in order to play for a better team.
We will do what you want to talk about at 20 to 10. Also, Andrew Schultz of Breakfast Television is going to join us on the heels of Ted Henley taking him out in the knee with a lead pipe, going Tonya Harding on him. Saying that weather guys don't work. All they do is read the flyers that come in the newspaper and look for deals. Apparently, it was liquor flyer day yesterday.
And you know what? I'm hoping that Schultz, I know we're kind of switching gears again, I'm hoping he comes in with that new jersey. I saw a picture of him with the new Stamps jersey.
Yes, we're talking about Andrew now, not to just.
No, sorry.
Two different Schultz is here.
Oh, jeez.
And he is wearing the new Stamps.
It looks
thirds,
like that, yes.
So we'll have him in studio momentarily. Other news, we will hear from Stephen Brunt later this morning as we talk all things CFL. And what the heck do you buy Derek Jeter? It's been the question we've asked all day. Ketchup chips, okay, I like it, but that's not a real lasting gift. Those are going to be gone in 3 minutes.
Smarties, Mars bars, yeah.
Maple syrup, meh.
He can, all the Canuck treats, yeah.
Canadian bacon, I get it, all the Canadiana. But what are they going to get him? Because you can understand why they get cracked on for giving the soap carving to Mariano Rivera. Yet I've asked all morning what to get Jeter. Mm-hmm. And how many like, yes, that's the perfect gift. How many of those have we had? None.
Yeah.
It's not an easy guy to buy for.
We made fun of the boots. What, it was Houston, right?
Houston.
I mean, we make fun of the boots, but look, he could probably pop those things on later on in life if he's feeling kind of cowboyish. You know?
Sure, he's going to an event.
Hey, thank you, Houston. Houston, we don't have a problem. I have boots. Thank you. So, I mean, I like your point. Get something that lasts, not just an edible treat.
Also, on the fan feedback line, 960-960, lots of reaction from that interview with Rick Ball and Kelly Rudy. Great interview, guys. Kelly's awesome. I always see him at a local bar every once in a while, and he always takes times for the over-refreshed guys who still want to chat with him. Kelly is that guy. He is not going to give you the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got time for everyone.
Solid,
and I think a lot
guy.
Of former pros, they forget why they're wealthy in the sense that the fans give you the money to be the superstar. Kelly has not forgotten that. He's an immensely accessible dude. I love sharing time with it, be it in interviews or the fantastic golf tournament he runs.
Lovely guests.
We've got special guests coming in, and they're modeling what is the hottest piece of fashion in Calgary at this very moment. We've got Andrew Schultz of Breakfast Television. The weatherman himself, the forecast calling for fashionable black jerseys with red and white trim. And on top of that, it looks like we've got some guns on the shoulders.
Look at the gun show.
Those are my biceps.
And there's the guns on the jersey, too.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. And I'm going to give them a plug, eh? Because what they were going to do was reveal it only on Monday, right?
Right.
The jersey. They said, okay, you know what? We can, marketing, of course, we can make some bucks off this thing ASAP.
They've got the store open right now. People are buying these jerseys.
8:30 till 8 today, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. tomorrow, and 10 to 3 on Sunday game day. They're going to be open at 9 a.m., but I think it's slick. I've heard a couple people, from what I've heard so far, that it looks simple, right?
Yeah.
But you've seen the helmet.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have that POW helmet, keep the jersey. It looks awesome.
Nice contrast for sure.
I like it.
You've brought some special guests with you, Mr. Schultz. Who are these young aspiring broadcasters in the booth?
This is Sydney.
Hi.
And this
Holy
is Casey.
Moly.
Hi.
Oh, double high.
Double what? High. That's like me doing an interview. I like to thank people twice.
Awesome.
I like to clear up. A lot of people wonder what's going on here, right? I mean, is it just a play?
Does this take your kids to work day? Or did I miss the memo? I don't have kids that I know
well,
of.
Well, you took me to work. I'm pretty young.
I took Smitty instead here.
No, but the deal is, what it gets down to is all summer long, is it Callaway? Is it Heritage Park? Where is it going to be?
Yeah.
They said that we want to come to Breakfast Television. I said, well, okay.
Oh, wow.
So it's not a ploy to save money on childcare, which is awesome. But
daycare is closed today.
In the end, like, they want to come on down, not only to stop by, they've been on the show several times, but when I get here. So, like, got them up at 4:15 a.m.
How'd you like the wake-up, girls?
I loved it.
It's pretty early, hey?
I want to do it every single day.
Oh my goodness.
Let's not say that anything we'll regret.
Yeah. Oh, and remember, buy Sydney Shampoo at SidRocks.com/shampoo.
It's going to be in sales.
I'm too cool.
I don't know what's going on.
We're getting a serious marketing pitch here.
Don't forget to buy Casey's discs that came in the same store with Cindy Shampoo.
She wants to sell.
All right, so for Schultz, you got to translate here. We got the kid language going on here. We need translation here.
Somebody said, give me a second, okay? For some reason, can we get a word in here? She's selling shampoo, and Casey here is selling CDs. I don't know what's going on. But the thing is, I can't imagine, and it is, don't touch the microphone, please, okay, Sid? The big deal is they wanted to come on in,
yep.
And if that's it, if that's all it takes, look at the money I can save on Callaway and on Heritage Park and on the single ride. Maybe I can get them a part-time job. I know that we could help with, you know, some of the trash in the downtown core, get a broom out on here.
No, why not? And hey, they like waking up early, apparently. You want to wake up at 4 every day?
No, 3.
At 3. Oh, my goodness.
3. And my magazines, I mean, my there's 3 different songs.
Okay, well, we'll wait for them.
Cat Smell.
Yes.
Cat Smell.
Shampoo.
Uh-huh.
And I'm Too Cool For You.
Okay, good.
Not Too Cool For School, but for you.
I'm going to talk for a second with these
That's
two
awesome.
Gents. Is that okay?
My shampoo Make it, like, is so made with
We can see who runs the show
hair
here.
Hair and cat
I have, like,
balls.
No control. That's great. Okay. So we're gonna talk for 2 seconds about, Ted Henley. One of my co-hosts.
Teddy came in here and said that the weather guys just read the paper, do Sudokus, and sift for deals on bargain booze and flyers. You have 5 minutes to defend yourself.
Rebuttal is this. It's the number one reason people watch local. We've done surveys. We've done stats. We've done the facts and figures. 56% of the reason that people watch local television is for that weather forecast, which leaves another 44% divvied up among traffic, among the news headlines, among health, among lifestyles, among fashion.
And trapped under the couch, I believe, is 1%. They're actually stuck and the TV's on.
It's unaccountable is what it gets down
okay.
to. So when you say 56%, it might not sound like a lot, but that is the biggest piece of the pie, number one reason people watch local. And the deal is, in the end, it's a science, it's a craft, it's an art form. And that's what I bring to the table.
He seems jealous, really, when you think about it.
He has to read a teleprompter as well. I don't. It's off the top of my head, and it's a forecast that I've created. So, I mean, he is somewhat of a puppet when you think about it. Ted is great. I've worked with Ted on again, off again, since 1996, 97.
Wow.
Different TV stations, different time slots, and now we're back together on Breakfast Television. It's like reunited.
How do you like the strangers in the building here? We've got 4 radio stations now joining what was just TV, just City.
Just City for the longest time ever. And preceding that, A-Channel, obviously.
Yeah, I was an employee of A-Channel.
You were.
Craig Broadcast
I
back
no
in the
idea.
Day. Wow.
Back in 97, it was state-of-the-art. Now, the TV, not so state-of-the-art. We needed to do some spruce up. And it took having the radio partners move on in here.
Ironic.
Yeah, well, and I got my start on the old at old 66 CFR, which was
oldie
station.
Wow.
We played carts, worked midnight
with,
to 6.
Mr. Rock and Roll, Shannon Cook.
Before Shannon Cook, even. Like, it was Jerry Steen, the Steen team, but Shannon Cook, yeah, Mr. Rock and Roll. That was a lot of fun. Well, the oldies, it was great. I'm not sure what's going to ever happen to oldies because, you know, the new formats have taken over. But, I mean, it had its time. That building had its time back in the early 90s.
Yeah, we were due for a move about 2 decades ago by my measure.
It's the greatest, honestly, this is the greatest radio cluster I have ever seen as far as the new booths.
Cool.
It's got that new radio smell.
It reeks like a car in here. A brand new car. It's fantastic.
Windows.
Yeah. Now, Rhett Warner's coming back on Tuesday.
Well, that
so
smell will change.
Start to smell like unshowered Rhett from Tuesday on. But we'll enjoy the new car scent from now until then.
Wasn't sure if he's under protest, like does not want to come to the new building.
He just doesn't work, really. He
oh,
shows
is that what
up
it
for
is?
2 hours and Sometimes he's eating and not paying attention. Sometimes he's looking for the internet for fishing trips to go on his 120 days of vacation. But he is physically here for a bit. I fail to remember a lot of what he actually produces in terms of work.
Okay.
But he's here physically a little bit.
He's like a piece of furniture.
Yes.
Right.
A very expensive piece of furniture that smells awful.
Hangs out and does his thing. Oh, yeah. I want to ask you guys this because we got one of our producer, one of our camera guys, Derek.
Yeah.
He's been on me last game, Stamps and Esks.
Yes.
Pay you $5.
Where's Green Bay? I don't know. This guy's wearing Green Bay. He doesn't understand maybe that they're not part of
the
CFL.
So he thinks because of the same colors, they're Eskimos.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm not sure where he's coming from, but same colors. He might as well go. So $5. Last time I took $5 from him.
Wow.
I went again, and I'm reading stuff like on different websites. Stamps by $3. I'm pretty confident. What do you guys think of Labor Day going in? I mean, we've got some good tools back, but is that the rhythm going to be different now that we've got some of these guys back that have been gone for a while?
Well, you mentioned it. I mean, it's a different-looking Stamps club than the one that they brought up to Edmonton earlier. They're healthier. They've got the guy the offense was supposed to be built around back in the lineup in John Cornish. They're at home, and they've got the sexy black jerseys. I don't know what the spread's at, but I do like the home side here. And that said, I don't think that means the Stamps are better than the Eskimos all year long or that they'll prevail out of the West. I still think Edmonton's a very good team.
Wow.
But you almost always see splits in these home-and-homes when both teams are competitive.
Absolutely. That'd be the case. But at the same time, I mean, somebody's going to walk out of that game on Monday with a loss. The Stampeders, I was discussing it with Dave Will from 660. He does our traffic. Yep. He's a huge Stamps fan. And, yeah, that rhythm you get when you've got these guys in place and that camaraderie, I don't know. I mean, it scares me a bit, you know. But having said that, I got $5 on it. We're going to see what happens.
And it's two ferocious pass rushes. It's going to be a very physical game, and the quarterbacks will be running for their lives. I cannot wait. Thanks for coming in and joining us. We'll do this again. Girls, are you back to school here next week or what?
I have something to say.
They're both entrepreneurs.
Let's get back to
the soap and the CDs.
No, I don't think we need any more sales pitches.
All right, the sales pitches.
The sales guys are going to be all over
you. Thank you for joining us. Girls, good luck with your whatever crazy entrepreneurial spirit you have and the things you're selling. Thanks for coming in.
Bye.
All right, we'll come back with Stephen Brunt as we move from shampoo and cat conversations into sports. We'll see how that works for us on this Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
/9:25 Friday. Long weekend coming at you. That's a good thing. Not sure what the weather called for. We should have probably asked the weatherman who was in studio the last 15 minutes. That would have been a smart thing to do, right? But, you know, the 5-year-old girls and the sales pitches took over. Some texts coming in at 960-960 already on our very young guests. These two girls know more about sports than Boomer does. And sign up the girls for the morning show. They already sound better than you, Pinder. So there you are. Again, some scintillating feedback at 960-960. More of that in about 15 minutes time as we have what you want to talk about. But right now, we slide into the CFL conversation with Stephen Brunt. But first, the return of a legend to Toronto. Stephen Brunt, what would you get Derek Jeter as a go the heck away gift after killing the Jays for the last 2 decades?
I can't beat that. Jeannie Bouchard's suggestion is quite great. I was going to say she might be a little young for him, but I'm not necessarily sure.
I don't know, Stephen.
Man, can't beat that.
You got to get him a gift basket of sorts, right?
Well, that's his. And yes, gift basket. Exactly. Well, isn't that the famous story about him, right? Is that he broke up with his girlfriend? He sent them a gift basket.
Well, and girlfriend might be a little friendly to say. I think after evening interactions, he would send them off with a driver, a car in the morning, and a gift basket of signed memorabilia. And the story actually got out when he gave the same girl the same gift basket twice because he'd forgotten he'd already hooked up with her.
Well, yeah, that may be a bit, girlfriend may be a bit euphemistic. So but it's polite, right? But, you know, the amazing thing about him, because I was thinking about it, I'm going down to the game tonight to talk about him for Connected a little bit. You know, despite the fact we know things like that, right, and we know that, you know, his dating list has been quite remarkable, and you know that he kind of in a celebrity obsessed world and in a phone camera world, you know, that's he still has managed to kind of ride above all of that in, you know, in New York with all of the focus, with all of the attention, with all of the glamorous girlfriends. His image is almost pristine. That's it's kind of hard to imagine, isn't it?
He's Teflon. He absolutely is. Now, I'm told by our fantastic producer, Jason DeForest, you have just walked through some sort of a Comic-Con comic book. Oh. What's going on, Steven? We got to get up to speed where you're at here.
Well, you know, yeah, normally I'm tied. Like, you know, I was talking about the bear for the last month, right? So I guess this is part of my deal, is to provide freakish side parts to sports. But yeah, I just walked out of Union Station in Toronto. Little and unbeknownst to me, there is some huge comic book convention going, like not like Comic-Con in San Diego, except the Toronto version of it. And I got to tell you, the parade going by right now of people dressed as characters. So these aren't just enthusiasts. These are people who live the life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been a crowd filled of Wonder Women and Batman and a character wearing a fez. I'm not sure who that is, but I'm sure somebody listening to this will know. A lot of people wearing a fez. Does that ring a bell?
No, that sounds like a character on that 70s show. I don't know who that is or what that is.
Well, it's quite a scene. They're all very jolly, and they clearly have found each other, which is probably a good thing.
Now, this is not Halloween either. They take this very seriously. There are no details spared, and these would be costumes that perhaps have been worked on since the last Comic-Con ended.
Yes, absolutely right. And, you know, one of the things I was reading a little bit about this just before I came on air, because there's a bunch of stuff. One of the features here, they have a speed dating event where people who are into what is known as cosplay, you know, dressing up in costumes, can meet each other.
No.
Now I would pay to see that. I would pay to watch that from a distance, to watch those people sitting down across the table from each other attempting to make a connection.
Steven, it's the next great reality TV show. You and I should quit our jobs today and just start filming this stuff. We'll be billionaires by 2016.
Yeah, it could be. It could be, or maybe we're just out of sync.
Now, let's switch gears a bit. Your beloved Tie Cats have a game to play on Monday, and they will not know until Sunday whether they can actually host it at what's supposed to be new Tim Hortons Field, which is looking like concrete pile and rebar central, Tim Hortons construction zone.
Yeah, it's a fiasco, actually, and I hope it ends happily. I'm supposed to be there. I've been going to Labor Day games in Hamilton since I was four, so I would hate to miss it, especially since it's now going to be the first game in the new stadium. But no, the city has not signed off. There are various inspections that have to be done. And again, everybody's kind of worried about liability, right? That this thing is a construction site. It's not going to be fully open no matter what. Max, they're going to have 18,000 of the 22 or 23,000 seats. But no one is willing to green light this thing until every T is crossed, because you can imagine what would happen if they do green light it and then something falls from above and hits someone on the head. So the Tie Cats got in there Wednesday to practice for the first time. They actually kept the media out because, again, it was restricted to construction personnel. Yesterday, they let people in, and the initial reviews, anyway, from people who went in, were that they liked it. You know, they liked the kind of the sight lines and the intimacy, you know, replicating what was good about Ivor Wynn, I guess, as closely as they could. But yeah, no one knows. They have a plan B, which is to play Tuesday night in Hamilton if they can get it ready 24 hours later, and they have a plan C, which from a Hamilton point of view would be the worst case scenario, which is that they would play Tuesday night at the Rogers Center, because Monday they can't play Monday at the Rogers Center because it's too close to the Jays game on Sunday. So imagine a Hamilton Labor Day game played in Toronto. Like, that's, you know, that is worst case. So
it'd be a complete disaster, Steven. You're talking about giving away home field in what theoretically is your biggest regular season game of the year.
Yeah, and just this thing has been, I guess, predictably, stadiums get delayed, big projects all get delayed. You know, there are a million issues, and everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else, and there are many lawyers involved, and the lawyers are going to do great on this one. But it's a real shame, you know, and I still go back to, now Scott Mitchell just sent me a nasty email because about the last time I said this, but I'm going to say it again. The Tie Cats had an option in Hamilton, a different site, which would have been great for the city, and I think would have been great for them, but they rejected it for reasons of their own. And had they gone there, Ivor Winston Stadium would still be standing. They would have played there last year. They'd be playing there this year. It would have been like the Winnipeg scenario where, you know, if the delay happens, well, you just go back in the old stadium for another year. So it's not like they bear no responsibility for this. They do bear some responsibility for this. And, you know, they took a risk. Everybody knew that if you tear the old place down, you have no option. They played in Guelph last year, but, you know, there really was no plan B.
I'm lobbying to get the Blackouts back in the CFL. Just for tonight's game in particular, though, Ottawa against Montreal, 2 1-win clubs. Can we black this out, please?
Boy, not just 2 1-win clubs, right? But 2 1-win clubs who, you know, on an offensive basis are historically terrible. You know, they are, you know, that Ottawa team, God love them, you know, an expansion team, everybody kind of expected they wouldn't be good. But, you know, you would think with Henry Burris, you could at least score an offensive touchdown. They haven't. And Montreal, the wheels have come off there, you know, on every level organizationally. You know, I still got a lot of time for Jim Popp. I still think he's a great general manager. But Tom Higgins has been a disaster. They have not found a replacement for Anthony Calvillo at all, not even close. And, you know, what was once a model organization in the league has fallen on really hard times. And it's, you know, that's going to be an interesting one to watch because, you know, it has been a very happy story in Montreal. You know, they remember, everybody knows, you know, Baltimore Stallions, nowhere to go, wind up in Montreal, wind up in the Big O, get thrown out of the Big O because of the U2 concert. End up playing at Molson Stadium, and the city falls in love with them, and it's a really lovely story. But Montreal's a city that falls out of love very fast. and you just watch what happens with a crummy football team that is no longer, you know, that is no longer kind of the in thing. That is, you know, with an aging owner who is these days losing money. Watch that one carefully because it's not that far off. It's not Toronto, but it might not be that happy a situation for the league.
It's like Derek Jeter, Stephen. He falls out of love very quickly. Once you lose that crown as Miss Universe, he's not interested anymore.
That's great. I like we bring it back to Derek Jeter in the end. That's perfect.
Out west, I don't know that there's been as much excitement about a Labor Day game as what we've got here in Alberta. And I feel like, you know, the heydays of NHL in Alberta were clearly the 80s when Edmonton and Calgary, I think for a span of something like 8 years, it was one or the other in the Stanley Cup final every year. Obviously, the Cups in Edmonton, one here in Calgary. And in the CFL, I feel like the Labor Day just isn't the same when one team's dominated the other. And that has been the case over the last decade or so with Calgary owning Edmonton. Now they're both 7-1. It's the highest combined winning percentage of the two teams on Labor Day. What do you make of the Monday matchup?
Well, it's going to be fantastic. Now, yeah, again, in the West, there are no bad teams in the West. So that's, you know, that is a bit of a luxury compared to the no good teams East. But it's got to have. I can imagine what the crackle is. You know, I know here Labor Day, Toronto, Hamilton. You know, actually, almost was. It almost didn't matter what the records were. Yeah, I remember terrible Hamilton teams playing really good Toronto teams, and if you won that game, it was like the 1 year season. So it didn't matter. You know, and it's been a rare thing here when those two teams have been good at Labor Day, both good. But you're right. Edmonton has been down for a while. They have finally figured some things out, I think, on the coaching front and in the front office. And I think they've finally gotten over the damage done by the Ricky Ray trade. Thank you, Eric Tellman. I would love to be there. You know, it's going to be I can't think of two polar opposite situations football-wise than the two Labor Day games. You know, that game played in front of a full house with two great teams and the Hamilton-Toronto game with two lousy teams playing in a site to be announced. That's a study in contrast, I'm saying.
Totally agree. We were chatting with Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Eastside Kia, and it is no bull. Receive 0% financing up to 84 months, combined with up to $4,000 in discounts. Get a 2014 Rio automatic for just $16,380. Visit eastsidekia.ca. I keep hearing conversations about how Toronto in the CFL is the next big issue the new commissioner will have to face. And oh my goodness, we could not have a league without a team in a major market. Hello, the NFL doesn't have a team in LA. It's the second biggest market in the country. Could you do the same thing in Canada, or is it too much given that all the media headquarters are in Toronto?
You know, you can. I think, you know, you've got a very solid, as long as you have a very solid television property, which is what the NFL has, right? That, yeah, you can put an NFL team on Mars and still sell advertising. It doesn't matter. You know, you as long as you drive, you have a television audience that somebody wants to reach, that's just fine. And, you know, and honestly, the Toronto franchise in the CFL right now is so off the map. You know, it is so not part of the conversation in Toronto that it might as well not be here. Yeah. Now, Grey Cup here is a different thing, right? And they've successfully staged Grey Cups here in recent years. So that has come back. But, you know, I think from a business point of view, I'm not sure how relevant it is, you know, really. And, you know, as long as those audiences come from somewhere, and maybe they disproportionately come from Western Canada and especially disproportionately come from Saskatchewan. But if you can, you know, if you can put a CFL game on and draw 800,000 or 900,000 people to watch it, advertisers, doesn't matter where they are going to advertise. So, I think ideally in a 9-team league, you have 9 happy franchises. But, you know, historically, when has that ever been the case in the CFL?
Yeah, it really hasn't. And Humpty's certainly spending a lot of dough on national broadcasts. I don't think they have a store east of Winnipeg. So your point is very valid there. We've gone at length on that before. Thanks for your time, Stephen. Enjoy the Labor Day weekend. And hopefully, somehow, some way, we get you in a seat in Hamilton for what should be a fun one at that brand new stadium.
Yeah, with any luck Tuesday, I will have a report about what it's like. But fingers crossed.
Can't wait. Thanks, Stephen.
See ya.
Now, Stephen Brunt of Sportsnet, as he's getting set for maybe a Labor Day game on Monday and maybe a Tuesday game in Hamilton and maybe a Tuesday game at the Rogers Center. It's a bit of a cluster, as they would say. Well, that's not exactly what they'd say. It's close. It's the first part. They are scheduled to play Monday. They will not know until Sunday afternoon if the new Tim Hortons Stadium is a go. Breaking news this hour, Justin Schultz of the Edmonton Oilers getting a new contract. 1 year, a shade under $3.8 million. We'll touch that, get you the hard numbers, come back with what you want to talk about. A reminder tonight, we've got Jays at Yankees at 6 o'clock. It is Derek Jeter's return to Toronto, and I suppose return, the last of which he'll be returning as a pro baseball player. It's the last series the Yankees will play. He's retiring at the end of the year. It's been the question we've asked you all day on the fan feedback line. What do you get Jeter as a going-away gift? And is there any good ideas, or are they all cheesy, stupid, over-the-top, or ugly
dirty.
Art?
Or dirty.
Or dirty. We've got a lot of those suggestions. They will not do that, I'm sure. It is in case you miss, or excuse me, the what you want to talk about. Coming up when we are back, it is your time to take us into the long weekend. Your text at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Wow! 9:43 on your Friday morning. Pinder and Smith in from Allberg.
Allberg?
Skulski? Let's get it on. I was hoping we could get Gordon Norrie, the president of the Stamps, to give us a guaranteed win, but it just didn't seem like he was in the mood. Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. I wonder if we could come in on Barry White one day and have Dennis Skulski just singing the hooks for Barry White.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
It is a new deal for Justin Schultz in Edmonton. $3.675 million. He's the second highest paid Oiler defenseman behind Nikita Nikitin, which sounds like a sexy spy show filmed in Russia. Wasn't there like Nikita? Wasn't that some crappy showcase late night TV show? I don't think your mic's working. It's there, but it's not on. So we'll leave you for a bit. So Justin Schultz has got a new deal. It's a one-year variety deal, of that variety, I should say. So they'll have to do another one next year. But I feel like it is kind of a make-or-break season for, maybe not make-or-break, but it is a prove-it-and-we'll-pay-you kind of season for Schultz. Because they're willing to pay you in Edmonton. We know that. He's going to have a chance to have a better year. I think he will. The club, we've been saying the same thing about them for 3-4 years. They're going to be better this year. But this year, they are going to be better.
They have to be.
Are they?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a broken
record. Probably not.
Anyway, this is the time of the show where we let you take the reins. It is called Who What You Want to Talk About?
Talk About.
Talk About.
Talk About.
Talk About. I feel like I need to put my voice.
Your mic's working now.
Well, yeah.
Very good. Well done.
Thanks.
We had Kelly Rudy on earlier this morning. We got a couple texts about people just raving about what a good guy Kelly is. He says, I typically wear a Flames headband when I go to games, and one night at the Dome, I got a tap on the shoulder. I turned around. It was Rudy. Obviously, he was a headband guy himself back in the day, so we hit it off. We ended up talking for another 15 minutes about the Flames, etc. What an awesome guy. I'll never forget chatting with him. How cool is that? So, Rudy, taking time for the common man.
Right.
Kind of like that. And it was more of a bandana, not a headband, I believe, that he wore.
Head bandana.
The bandana and turn it into a headband. I guess it's close to a headband. Jason, this just in from 945 guy. Did the Flames hire a play-by-play team yet? Yeah, we got to that. That text won't go away.
It's probably the same guy that calls me on Friday night. Hey, can I get the stamp score from 2 weeks ago?
Did you get that call?
Oh, yeah.
Because you do. You run the board here
on
the weekends.
Sometimes, yeah. And then people call and ask for scores, sports scores.
That are like 3 days old.
In the era of smartphones and televisions and such.
Yeah.
And radio stations.
Apparently, Doug Dirks is texting in. This is something that is over my head, but Boomer was telling me about. The Rangers have traded for Martin St. Louis.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if that's confirmed, Jay, because I heard some conflicting reports that Tampa Bay didn't want Callahan, but apparently the Rangers have acquired Marty St. Louis, a guy that led the league in scoring back in 04, led Tampa to a cup in 04 over the Flames in the final. I don't know if that's firm or not.
Callahan.
Battle plan.
All right. Get Jeter a canoe. We've been asking you all day, what do you get Derek Jeter? You know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if they got him a canoe?
Just lugging a canoe out onto
That's
the diamond.
Right. You're like, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to congratulate Derek Jeter on his fantastic career. Here's a bloody canoe, you jerk. Try getting this across the border. Like, how the heck would he get it back to New York? It would be the biggest FU gift of all time. I love it. A canoe. That's the best idea we've had today. We asked you, what are you going to get Jeter for a going away gift if you're the Jays? And no, I don't know why the Toronto announcer had some sort of a Yankee accent.
Kind of sound like the Mayor Quimby.
Mayor Quimby, sure. Yeah. Quimby. New England. I don't know why. Mm. Another one, get Jeter a beaver tail. Well, if there's two things Jeter doesn't need. elsewhere, can you guys do sports like picks against the spread for NCAA football? I'm sure we could. I don't know how good we'd be at it. And apparently Seattle already got him a canoe. So there you go. They went and screwed it up.
Nothing original.
Mariners. That makes some sense, though. Mariner.
So boots are out, canoes out, and soap.
What else have we got? Give Jeter a 20-year supply of duh, since he's not going to be coming back to Toronto anymore. And that, of course, is great reference to Chris Berman.
You know what a duh is?
I don't. What is it, Chris?
Little 8% Cody never hurt anybody. I know exactly what this night is.
Duh.
Two's. Duh.
That would be a good gift for him. That's maybe the best suggestion.
Just a little drop.
Just a little drop.
You know what a duh is?
I don't. Tell me, Berman.
Two's. Duh.
Let's cut off TF Tuesdays and get Headband Guy to tell us some more headband stories. Yeah, no, I think we're good. That was his time in the sun. He's done now. Yes, it was a 5-part text that came in, but he got his story told. A Rudy tapped him on the shoulder. I don't know. It sounded like that man may have been under the influence of some duh-duh-duhs when he was at the Flames.
You know what duh-duh-duhs?
What's the question?
We need to use the studio for 15 minutes.
Just stand up.
Hey, Pinder, great job. And will the South rise again on Labor Day? See, that's confusing because I know there's an East and a West seated section. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. The South will rise again. Get ready, Boliva out.
Oh, Boliva, of course. Boliva.
Boliva, baby. The South will rise again. We got a Bondo gunslinger, Kenny Tegger.
Now, I don't know if you know, but not just a football player, many, many titles and achievements.
Katy, Texas. Home of superstar, dashing, young, southern gentleman, quarterback, superhero, doctor, astronaut, cowboy, cat fancier, Bo Levi Mitchell.
Couple things.
Yeah, so we'll see if we can add another title there. Maybe it's a botanist or something like that. Acoustic LP top 40 recording artist. Something like that.
Sure.
Bo Levi is a very talented man. Give Jeter the keys to the country. No, I think that's fine. He can probably leave and not come back. We'd be fine with that. He, by the way, will close his career out as the highest producing player in games played, runs, and hits in Rogers Center history amongst non-Blue Jays. So no one has created more angst, pain, and teeth gnashing in the Rogers Center than Derek Jeter.
That just speaks volumes. That in itself deserves a gift of some sort. Incredible.
The two of you really need some psychological help. That from the text line. Okay, yeah. Well, might not be wrong there. Apparently, the Angels gave Jeter a surfboard. How do you like that?
A lot of water gifts, hey?
Well, those are two cities on the ocean, so yeah.
Makes sense.
Their activities in those cities would be associated with water. Yeah. You didn't get a surfboard in the desert, Sean.
Can he utilize these things, though? Do you think he will appreciate the surfboard and the canoe?
I don't know, man. Here's a great suggestion from the text line. Given that it's a long weekend, why not give Jeter 41 Coors Lights? I mean, it's a. I don't know how 41 fits in because he's number two, but it would be an interesting gift on a long weekend.
I had 41 Coors Lights.
Not 42, not 40.
41.
I had 41 Coors Lights.
Give him the finger and say, get out of the country. That's not the way Rogers is going to operate, I'll tell you that. And how about a double-double for Jeter? It's just a simple coffee. I still think a duh-duh-duh would be more popular than a double-double.
A duh-duh coffee.
Just a little drop.
A little drop of vanilla.
Two-two-twos. Duh-duh-duhs.
How about a pair of...
Duh-duh-duhs.
A pair of duh-duh-duhs, yeah.
A pair of duh-duh-duhs.
Duh-duh-duhs.
What about a pair of Indian moccasins? Well, you'd have to go to India for those. That's what you're referring to.
The Cleveland Indians.
How about some ostriches for Derek Jeter? I don't know that ostriches are synonymous with Canada. I really don't know where the texter's getting at that. Why would ostriches be given to Jeter? It'd be difficult.
There's way too many ostriches.
Be a customs line. Excuse me, sir.
Why are there so many ostriches?
That's what the customs official asked. Why are there so many ostriches?
The brochure said there'd only be a few ostriches.
This from the text
line. This is a terrible vacation.
A terrible idea on the text line. The Jays should hit Derek Jeter in the head with a shovel as a going away press.
See where this is all going now?
I'm sure the...
Oh my God.
Good work today, boys. Friday. Ooh. You're doing just a fantastic job. Shawnee, thanks for coming in today, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hope you had fun. We got Boomer back on Tuesday. Everyone enjoy your Labor Day Monday. I would like to thank you for tuning in this morning, and thanks for your time this morning. In case you missed it, is coming up in mere moments. A reminder that the big show will start at 1 o'clock. We will join the Blue Jays in progress at 6. Thanks for your time this morning, and thanks for your time this morning. This is the best of the week in case you missed it.
Time for me to take a look in the mirror, talking about eating right and doing some things. I went golfing in kind of a charity thing on Saturday. Rode in carts and not walking. Carts, 18 holes, 120 or 30 swings, strokes. Oh, that's my game. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, on the ice with the youngsters from about 8 till 12, 1230. I feel like I got run over by a car. My feet, my legs, my back.
How are your calves?
My neck, like into my shoulder, my entire back, like top, the whole thing. Anything that if it's the muscles between your ribs, yeah. They're sore.
It hurts your body you didn't know you had.
Hurts to sneeze. And I didn't do anything. I stood on the ice for a few hours and swung a golf club. You're going on breakfast television just after 8 o'clock. I'll be driving the bus.
All right.
While you get your pretty unshaven face on the tube. Have you done a lot of television work? Are you familiar with how it works?
A little, not a ton. I used to work on the show here.
I would say what you do, don't move too much. In fact, the less you move, the better.
I'm pretty fidgety to begin with.
Yeah, just get really stone. Sit straight up. Don't move your head, move your entire upper body. So everything's stiff. Like a statue.
Like there's a rod going from your head through to your buttocks.
So just kind of...
That looks very awkward.
Speak more in a monotone. Practice your monotone. And when you look into the camera, don't look at Tara. Make no eye contact with her.
Well, she's talking to me. What do you mean I don't look at
her? Well, just ignore her.
Really?
Just listen.
She's not going to be offended.
Keep stiff as a board, thick neck, and look deep down the lens with a cold death stare.
Really?
Yeah. In the monotone voice.
I'm starting to get nervous.
Do you want to practice one more time?
Devin Setoguchi is the newest member of the club, signing a one-year contract worth $750,000. We've got him on the phone line.
You know, they give me a chance this year to come in and try to re-spark.
You're coming to an organization that, I mean, last year they admitted they were going through a rebuild.
I think that was the perfect fit for me.
Eugenie's kind of got the mixed bag thing going on. Gone on the skid since losing in the Wimbledon final. She's on the cover of the New York Times magazine. As we heard Damian Cox tell us yesterday with Rob Kerr. Great article if you've got time to read it.
I'm really
very, very early in her career. There's really a lot of pressure. Boom. She's not the unknown underdog anymore. There's expectations to win.
Not sure I'll have time.
She's got to the semis and all three majors.
Got a lot on the go.
But then since Wimbledon final, she loses there.
Yeah.
First round out in Montreal, her first match, I should
Damian
say.
Damian Cox, you said?
First match with the Cincinnati out. Second round, Connecticut Open out. So she lost four of her last five going in.
Well, I'll probably just take your word on it.
This has been Boomer Hates Sports, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're not going to get behind Eugenie.
I just feel that's unfair.
What do you mean? You're not getting behind a Canadian superstar.
Well, that's good. Every year, I try and take time off at this time of year to go to Flushing Meadows and watch the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And Kirsch says, no, it's the start of hockey season. You can't leave. What are you kidding? Camps around the corner. Rookies are going to be reporting. You can't be going to Flushing Meadows to be watching your tennis.
Joe, can we get you to voice?
Sure! Home Hardware!
Top prospect!
Wayne Simmons of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds! One of the top prospects! Home Hardware! Close to home! Holy Mackinac!
Again, Joe.
Give me a hot level on the mic,
yeah,
Joe.
Kind
just
of
tone it down.
Just a little hot.
So why Michael Ferland? Who else in the organization is over 215 pounds, can fight, scrap like crazy, and could probably get you 25 tucks? I don't think there's a single human.
I'm sorry, what?
He could score 25 goals. That's what the kids call it. If you ask Ferland, he would say tucks.
Why would you do that to yourself?
To aggravate you. That's all.
25 tucks.
Have you talked to a hockey player recently?
Yeah, I have.
They use that terminology. Is a snipe
bother? Do they really?
They do, yeah.
Do they?
I did not pick that up outside in the arena. It was inside in the arena.
So if somebody had four tucks, would they win four rip?
LMAO. Raffle-a-mail.
Why don't you talk about what we want to talk about? Maybe give it a try.
You know what? Take your cell phone and fire it out your window and pull over to the side of the road because it's just too much for you right now.
Appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for your time this morning.